Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's the pre-flight and it's morning. Wake up now, please, no more snoring. It's the morning pre-flight in the morning. They're the station, sleepy morning team.
Jim and Tommy in the morning.
Those meh duo you have ever seen.
There's a video stream now, so you can see that.
After a break and one's not back, they're on the toilet, probably.
I don't know if we can say that.
Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's the pre-flight and it's morning. Jim will hide behind his giant screen.
Jim and Tommy in the morning.
They'll crack some jokes. Tommy will hum the theme.
It's the pre-flight and it's morning.
Jim will come to break some news.
Unless this is different year.
Pat St. John is the weather dude.
Maybe.
Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's the pre-flight and it's morning. Where's Al Brian? This is boring. It's the morning pre-flight in the morning.
It is morning. Unfortunately.
Yes, it is. This is the morning pre-flight on EA Radio.
Thank you to Mother Nature for that wake-up call.
Yes, and thank you to our production staff for that theme song.
Yes.
I'm going to have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in my address today, obviously.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Oh, goodness.
So, what time did you get up there, Tom?
I was at the station probably just before 4:30. So, for those of you on grounds, you're likely aware, but for those of you listening from afar, we had a little bit of a weather front move through, I guess.
Yes.
So around 4 to 4:30, they started making announcements on the PA, started sending OSH alerts, that sort of thing, that a severe thunderstorm warning was in the area and should be passing through Oshkosh.
Yeah.
Which all but fizzled out before it got here. We definitely got a little bit of rain, but
and like one
saw some
good
lightning.
Solid strike of lightning,
yeah.
And then thunder.
Yeah.
Like
but
one.
It was like at a distance too, but it was loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
And bright. But nothing else. No real wind. Certainly no hail so far. So they were talking pea-sized hail. So we came over here to switch in, weather alert mode. So
yeah,
here we are.
Yay! All right. We were running National Weather Service content instead of our normal overnights because there's things happening. It's good to have some updates and some info. But it got me thinking as I was listening to this on the way in. It's 2024. Do you think that we could replace Perfect Paul? Because there's so much better AI for
is
voice.
Is that the name of the guy who does the robot?
Yeah, that's the
I don't know. Here's what I'll say about that. As I was sitting on the couch falling back asleep, it's kind of soothing. I don't know. I'm used to that voice, having grown up with it, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly better voices out there that could be.
Well, yeah.
That being said, and I have a bone to pick with the National Weather Service. Apparently, the Fond du Lac weather weather radio station no longer exists.
Yeah,
they took that down. So everything we get here comes out of Green Bay for this area.
I maintain several radio stations across the Upper Midwest, mostly in Central Minnesota. And we got a notification that there's like a huge swath of NWS radios throughout central Minnesota that are all down for maintenance all at the same time.
Yeah, I'm seeing I saw a lot of that this morning trying to find one that was working correctly and would cover our area. So.
I'm wondering if that's like related to the CrowdStrike situation, maybe. Mm-hmm.
That's something I hadn't considered, which is strange for me because I should have, but
yeah, it's
interesting.
It's something that was all of a sudden and far and wide.
Sure.
And and they're all quote down for maintenance.
That said, if I was going to guess based on the way government entities update their systems, I'm going to guess it's running on something less than
Windows 11 or 10
or
whatever.
Yeah. Less than 7, honestly.
But the distribution system for it might not be.
I can tell you when I started with the agency that I work for about 10 years ago that I absolutely saw Windows 95 machines in use.
Yes.
DOS machines in use.
DOS. Oh, I haven't seen DOS in a bit.
Yeah. I had staff at the time, still do, honestly, that weren't alive when Windows 95 was out, much less DOS was a thing. So, teaching someone to update Windows 98 in a VM when they weren't even, when they, I think they were two when in 1998 was an entertaining exercise. So it's always interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I would be curious if that was in fact the case for at least some of those outages. Mm-hmm. It would stand to reason anyway.
But the Fond du Lac NWS is just not a thing anymore, period?
It doesn't seem to be, no. Huh. Seems like they took it down.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a big aviation thing that happens in the vicinity of this that might be important to have that for.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Well, and Green Bay covers it. The interesting part, listening to it repeatedly this morning, was there was no mention of this storm front, really. They just were giving straight forecasts.
Yeah. And
very little alert to this.
And half of it was marine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which for Green Bay.
For Green Bay, fine. And honestly, the northeast and, what did they say, northeast and north central Wisconsin area. They were given the Oshkosh forecast, so.
Right.
At least in my, you know, sleepy stupor, I was able to pick the right one.
Yeah.
Yummy.
Oh, well. So I think that we should just AI the weather forecast.
There you go.
There are several services out there that do that for radio stations.
I mean, you could probably just ask ChatGPT right now what the weather forecast is, and hopefully it won't, you know.
Also true.
Feed you actual real information. I found some interesting results for really basic facts asking ChatGPT for on occasion that it just completely goofs up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well,
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
So in the world of radio, pull back the curtain just a little bit, probably 75% of your weather forecasts are AI generated, but it's through varying tools of the same function. But basically, they're taking the national weather forecast and applying AI voice to it. So it's not like ChatGPT is going to try and figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. You're feeding it something to be factual, and you're generating the voice, not the content.
And we've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
There's
services out there where you can purchase. I've seen that as well.
There is a list of words used in National Weather Service forecast that they only use these words, and then I can have somebody read each of those words and then have a computer that will actually assemble it.
Sure.
So it's actually for the last probably 25 years or so, those kind of services have been an actual human that did record that one word at a time, but the computer assembled it and spit it out.
Sure.
And that's why they don't sound, sometimes we don't sound exactly perfect on some of those.
Which is where, you know, that's where the generative voice of an AI voice could actually come in handy, because it knows how to, or it can be taught anyway in a large language model, how to adjust that so you sound more natural and not so robotic and having, you know, infliction in the wrong words and whatnot.
Yeah. But, cool. Perfect Paul might be time for him to
Perfect
retire.
Paul. That's a fun. We should have named Prydecker that. Perfect Paul.
Yeah.
I don't think I... Sam, did you know that? No? Sam's running our board this morning. I was curious. And I know she works in radio, so I was curious if she knew that that was the name of the NOAA weather guy.
Yeah. That
robot.
Is... Yeah, there's... It came from... I'm actually trying to find it here. It came from a old attempt at automated voice.
Yeah, I assume that one's recorded and pieced together, like you were describing.
And it had nothing to do with... The origin of it had nothing to do with the National Weather Service. There was an automated voice called Perfect Paul that you could make happen on stuff there.
Hey, how's your Discord, by the way?
Yeah, my Discord's great. Yeah, let me see. Gotta push the button. And there we go. Okay, now it shuts up.
Good job. By the way, poop truck guys are at it.
Right. Perfect.
Thank you.
Great to hear it.
It was a lovely experience this morning. Nice and clean and fresh, I guess.
It was an old attempt at that. But then they started when NOAA started using an automated voice, they said it sounded like this other one from this other system called Perfect Paul. So
got it.
Anyway, my Mac failed me this morning, so We had to go so back the, to the
behemoth
is
back.
Got yes, Alienware.
I mean, fitting considering this morning's theme song referencing your giant screen. So.
Oh yeah, it would have been pretty unfortunately incorrect if I would have had the little Mac in here. All right. Let's see here. Somebody chiming in on the texting gateway. Perfect Paul does not sound like a machine trying to sound human, and that's a comforting thing. No Skynet. Well, okay.
I think yesterday you welcomed our computer overlords. So
yes. I, for one, would like to welcome our new computer overlords.
Exactly. I have similar reservations. We can do this right.
What's that?
Or we can goof it up.
What's the term for something that sounds or looks too human and it freaks you out? So it's got to be just a little bit enough that you can identify that it's not. There's a term for that. Uncanny Valley.
You have a microphone if you want to chime in, Sam. Sam's
I think confused. She's giving us 1 minute.
1 minute. Is that what that was?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. I can.
That's exciting. I thought the mic was still on mute.
Nope, that's great. We can definitely hear you. Thank you.
Fantastic. That's what everyone wants.
That was just the 1 minute symbol? That wasn't. It was very dancey,
it was a
so
1 minute,
I wasn't
sure. Yeah.
Okay, so we have
get
1 minute
attention.
To break.
Thank
it.
You.
I thought she was trying to be
She's
helpful.
She's like raising her hand like, I have an idea.
Yes. And then, dude.
Yeah.
Little show me proper back and forth. Flip, form.
Windshield wiper finger.
How you do it.
Just.
Okay. Well, sometimes the eyes are elsewhere and you just got to get the attention.
You need to give the forceful finger.
Okay.
All right. Maybe not that. Maybe not that.
Anyway, Uncanny Valley.
Yes, that was Uncanny Valley, that's the term.
Okay. So when something appears to be human, like really close, it freaks people out and they don't like it. So that comment was exactly that of, you know, we can identify this isn't human and I'm very okay with that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Speaking of uncanny humans, Pat St. John will be in here in a little while, around 6:30 for the weather, and Jay with the news at 7. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
It's annual radio professionals Jim and Tommy with the Morning Pre-Flight.
I had to mute my mic because I was going to swear.
Right here on EAA Radio.
Of course, that's the one they have to keep from our previous years.
You can thank me for that music.
Yeah,
okay. That was my idea.
I love that one. We had that in an old spot. That's a new spot, Jim.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's right. It's just
because it
music
used to be Ryan Japs, but it's my favorite music in the morning.
Yeah, that was me, 2015.
Good job.
I'm the one.
You're the best, Sam.
Thanks. You're welcome.
All right. So
Jim loves it, too.
I'm checking out kind of the things to do for today.
Yeah.
And going, nope, that ain't going to work. For example, something tells me that the balloon static inflation is probably not going to be a thing this morning.
Yeah. It's a bit overcast, a little drizzly, probably not going to do that.
For those that are into such things, I will tell you what. We went out to the... Fun Fly Zone last night for the balloon static inflation that they do like right at dusk, so it's almost dark. Super cool, super pretty, and it's not exactly at the Fun Fly Zone because they do it just over the flight line, not quite to the taxiway.
Okay,
but that's the zone that they do that in. I think they had like 6 balloons last night that they inflated, and then we're hitting the torch and making them glow.
Hitting the torch.
Hitting the torch and making them glow. Yeah. Yes. I know. It was pretty cool. And you could get like right up to them where they were doing this, probably within, 15, 20 feet of where this was, because they were literally just like right across the crowd line into the, next to the taxiway there. So it was pretty cool. So honestly, you don't have to get up that early to see this. That's my point.
It's true. It's true. Just go in the evening.
Go in the evening, and honestly, it's going to look better. It's going to, because if they were trying to do that right now, even if it was sunny skies, it would not be as impressive as what I saw last night. So,
gotcha.
But regardless, I don't think that's happening this morning.
Yeah, no, I don't think you get a choice.
I'm also going to go out on a limb and say I'm pretty sure that the power parachutes are not going out this morning as well.
Yeah, it's a little damp for all that stuff. I don't think they're going to do... You're going to see a lot of that activity.
Right.
That being said, this little bit of rain It's going to calm down all the dust in the campground.
Yeah, we could use that.
It's getting there. It's getting a little dry.
I was commenting that the rover was getting a little bit too much dust on it, but yes. I don't want to get mud. No. I just want to get rid of the dust, please.
Mm-hmm.
We did not have enough rain last night to take out the bomb strike from the bird that I took to the side of the RV, so...
Yeah. it hit one or two of the carts, too, so there's definitely...
So, you know, something that I have noticed is slightly different this year than most.
What's that?
So, we camp in Paul's Park, and...
Paul's Woods.
Yeah, Paul's Woods, sorry.
Audrey's Park, Paul's Woods.
Yeah, you're right. So, we camp in Paul's Woods, and there is always this problem with the squirrels there that down on your end of camp, because you don't have too many trees, it's not so much, but on where I'm at, where there's more trees, the squirrels bomb us.
Oh, no. You know the tree. I am under that tree. You are right next to one on that end.
Yeah.
They chuck them at my tent.
Yeah.
Acorns. Just, so they're mad.
I've noticed that there's a little bit less of that happening. Also, we were sitting in camp yesterday, or day before yesterday, and about four or five of us actually saw this happen. Squirrel up there chucking acorns at us. And we're looking
like
at it.
Two-hand toss, like, right at you.
We're looking at
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
And it's like going out on a very flimsy limb, getting this acorn, and then chucking it down. And we're like, yeah, look at the little son of a gun doing the thing. Slips and falls from the top of the tree. Lands on a tent and bounces.
Great.
And then bounces off the tent and then lands right in the middle of our camp. That's one of these. Oh,
everybody freeze!
Everybody freeze! And then takes off. God. So not only do we get bombed by the acorns from the squirrels themselves are now throwing themselves at us.
so ridiculous! Whose tent did it bounce off of?
Stromberg's white tent that's in the center of our camp there.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, the giant canopy.
The canopy
got
one.
It. Got it. At least it was that. But. That's a little more durable than a tent, but it's so weird.
And this was not a flying squirrel, of course, because I don't think they have those around here. But it did the Superman thing, you know, all four out, you know, trying to catch itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the best part of this is now the squirrel has learned that that canopy is its trampoline, so you may see this more often.
Yes. Looking again at the schedule, something that I've not seen before, and it may have been there, but I'm just saying I've not seen before. Of course, we have several church services on Sundays at Theater in the Woods. 7 a.m. this morning at the chapel at Compass Hill. They have the Fellowship of the Wing, which is services that are happening periodically throughout the week. And I don't think that that is a regular thing that I've seen before.
I feel like I have, but okay. I won't doubt you on this because... I'm old and my memory is shot.
I've not seen it published, and Lord knows, pun intended, I wouldn't know that this was going on for other reasons. So, yeah, there's that. I still get a giggle every day. So when you start your day on the AirVenture schedule, the first thing that pops up is the morning pre-flight.
Yes, it is. That's us. You're welcome. Who do you think enters all those?
I know. It's a thing.
It is.
You know. So what did we do today in the rain? There's, of course, the museum.
Yes.
That is a solid option. I got to tell people, though, some people go to the museum and they're like, there's a lot of empty space. Yeah, the airplanes are actually out in the field right now.
Yeah, but there's so much to see.
But there's a lot to see there. I am one that says, you know, cool story, bro. Come back.
Yeah.
During the off season.
That's what
then
I need to do.
Go to the museum.
I have said that so many times.
Yeah.
Andrew and I have talked about coming up here because we live very close, relatively speaking anyway. And we both, particularly me, have been in the museum. Honestly, it has to be like 100 times by now.
Oh, yeah.
But I have never spent enough time to actually go through the exhibits the way I want to go through the exhibits and read the plaques.
Do you know how
you
do that, right? Bring somebody that's never been there, because it almost forces you to show people the things that you know are there that you haven't really spent a lot of time with, and all of a sudden you're getting a much better experience.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I could see doing that.
I found that when I was taking my kids around and actually stopping and explaining what this thing is and why it's in the museum and the importance of this and so forth. You know, it's
Maybe I'll bring Connor up. One of our last year volunteers, who's my nephew. So that would be
that would work. That would work. So museum again, solid choice. But you go to the Eagle Hangar and it's empty. The like displays that are around the edges of that is still awesome.
Yeah.
But aluminum overcast is not in the hangar; it's outside.
Oh, is it out there?
Yeah.
They're not doing flights this year.
Oh, okay. No. Sure. So yeah, it's parked outside. So yeah, you'll want to check stuff out there. Know that a lot of the stuff that was in the Eagle Hangar has been pulled out because they use that as a venue for some events and things like that. So, sure. However, solid option in my opinion, hit up some forums and workshops. Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful day for that. There is so many venues. It's not just the forum stages anymore. There's, you know, and the workshops behind here. In fact, just yesterday, my wife was like, "Oh, hey, look, there's this thing I want to go to. Where is the?" And she told me the venue. I'm like, "I don't know. I've been here for 40 some years, and I have no idea what that is."
Well, they do change, and new things pop up. And
I think it was the Aero Educator Center. If I remember,
Aero Educate,
Aero Educate Forum 5 or something like that is what it was called. But it wasn't like the forum buildings. It was like at the Aero Educate thing. But
where's the Aero Educate thing? Is that Four Corners?
I think that is.
Is that what we sometimes call the pilot? Well, it's not the Pilot Proficiency Center because they have a permanent one in the museum now.
Yeah,
there's the Learn to Fly Center there. Yeah, could be there.
Yeah, so. Again,
someone will chime in and correct us.
Right. You know, and sometimes I found out that some of these educational things are happening at the venues of some of the manufacturers. So, for example, the ADSB forum that's happening at 9 o'clock today is happening at UAvionics tent because. They've got, you know, they're the expertise. They've got the stuff set up. They've got everything ready to go there. So they're doing that educational piece at their site versus at somewhere else. So, but point is that these things are happening all over the grounds, not just at the forums. But again, the forums and forum buildings, great place to go when it's raining. You want to go learn to TIG weld? That's happening about 50 yards behind us right about now. So there's all sorts of things that can be done indoors, even though this is very much an outdoor event. And by the looks of it, I think that this was probably going to be the wettest day of the week until we hit the end of the weekend, maybe.
Yeah, it looks current forecast further out at the very end of the event looks like it could be a little damp, but not too bad overall.
But if you were to pick a day to do indoor stuff, this is probably the day.
It looks to be that way, that's for sure. Could be a little damp most of the day. But still a lot of happening on the grounds and in the museum and the forums and the classrooms and all of that you can
check
out. And
lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Oh my goodness. It's too early for this, Jim. Why do we still do this? If you want to chime in and tell us
any other suckers that come here doing.
Yeah. If you want to chime in and correct us on anything we've said so far, 920-550-1210. Simple text message comes right into the studio, and we can read it live on the air or not, you know. So behave yourselves.
Right.
We certainly will try. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Gracing you with their presence like it's Christmas in July.
I'm fat and bearded. I'm one step away from being Santa myself.
It's the Morning Pre-Flight with Tommy and Jim. Tommy and Jim.
Just say ho. That just sunk in on you, didn't it?
I'm not awake or quick enough this morning to do this. Yes, just say ho.
I do have
send your complaints to 920-550-1210, care of Jim.
I do have several mildly inappropriate Santa / Christmas shirts that when I'm forced to be at an event like that, you know.
When you're forced to be jolly.
Y'all, it's got a picture of Santa, you know, I'm just here for the ho-ho-hos, you know. So
that seems appropriate.
When you get invited to the Christmas party that you didn't want to be at anyway, you aim for not getting invited again.
Mm-hmm. See? There's the logic. Thank you, Jay.
I didn't say it was good logic, but I get it.
So we know what's going on the grounds now because I was so very informative in that last segment about things happening. What about things that are happening outside of Oshkosh?
Looking a little bit closer here in broader, I guess, from the EAA grounds in Wisconsin. Coming out of Milwaukee, Kamala Harris will officially change to a presidential candidate with her stop in Milwaukee today. Harris is due to arrive in Milwaukee this afternoon. This will be her first campaign rally as a candidate for president. All of her other stops here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin have been as the vice president. Harris is expected to speak to a crowd about 1 p.m. This will be Harris' fifth visit to Wisconsin so far this year. Her campaign raked in $81 million in her first 24 hours of her announcing she's seeking the Democratic nomination for president following President Biden's decision to drop his re-election bid. Not only is she bringing in the cash, she's now secured enough delegates to receive the official nomination. The news came just hours after Harris held her first on-camera campaign event in Delaware, where she told the crowd she's ready to take on Donald Trump.
The question is, who's the VP?
I don't get paid enough to make that kind of assessment.
So far, my favorite thing about that is they've done some analysis, actually, on the... it's not just a presidential level. The candidate that has the most interesting or entertaining names often wins, and the ones that you can most easily alter.
That might have been me. I'm sorry.
Okay,
it's my first time doing radio.
Right. The ones you can most easily alter the signs to be something funny, because, for example, the Trump Pence signs that people were making very inappropriate by taking a red Sharpie to him. It was decided that if Kamala Harris had Buttigieg on there, that would be the one that you can make the most jokes about by altering things with a blue marker. You could turn that very much into Harris, get rid of the S.
Sure.
And then just take the first few letters of Buttigieg.
What a weird way to build name recognition.
So this is actually a statistical analysis. So who knows? Who knows?
I have nothing off that one.
Right.
In Madison, Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers is doing a victory lap over the latest paycheck numbers. Yesterday, they said the numbers from the federal government show Wisconsin led the nation in hourly earnings growth. His office says figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics show that Wisconsin workers saw their earnings go up 7.9%, 6.4%, 4.4%, and 6.2% respectively for February, March, April, and May compared to last year. The average hourly earning range from $31.63 in Eau Claire to just under $35 an hour in the Milwaukee area. Both of those are the average hourly earnings. Wisconsin's median salary last year was just over $47,000 a year. And any hourly wage growth is, of course, offset by other price increases such as gas, grocery, home prices, et cetera, et cetera.
Yay.
I mean, okay,
let's go with that.
It's a good thing. I mean, $47,000 a year is, you know, just south of $23 an hour. So,
yeah.
Better than some.
Yeah.
Not as good as others. So.
Also out of Madison this morning, four people are looking for a new place to stay after a fire on Madison's west side. The fire damaged an apartment on Balsam Road yesterday morning. The man who lived in the apartment says he woke up to the smell of smoke, grabbed his pets, and got out. Firefighters say they rescued a bird that the man had left behind. There's no word as to what started the fire, but firefighters say it looks like it started in the apartment's bedroom.
Looking for a bird. I wonder if it's like a pet bird or like... You know, you got a random bird in your house you're trying to chase it out or something.
Daryl the Morning Dove lives in the rafters. Get him.
God. That's probably what ate the wire at Theater in the Woods.
Out of Lancaster, Wisconsin, a man is recovering and three of his cattle are dead after a rollover wreck in Grant County. It happened yesterday at a roundabout on Highway 61. The Grant County Sheriff's Office says the man, who is from Iowa, tipped his semi and cattle hauler after he went through the roundabout too quickly. He suffered minor injuries. Three of the cows in the hauler died. It took some time and some heavy equipment to clean up the wreck. Deputies say they wrote the driver a ticket for failure to keep his vehicle under control.
Facts.
So if you're a farmer, what do you do with that? Do you have like a big cookout or like what do you see? So you got three dead cows. It's not like they died of disease. It just seems to be a waste.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, you've seen the cattle harlings. They got it great. You just keep it on its side, light a fire, throw them on top.
Sure.
That's how that works, right?
Yeah. It's honestly not uncommon for when incidents like that happened too. Like, oh, and there's the meat for the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Been there, done that.
That there's good eating. So. I don't know.
In true Wisconsin fashion, the days of Dry Badger games are over. The University of Wisconsin yesterday announced that it will sell beer at Camp Randall Stadium this year. Wisconsin was one of the last holdouts that didn't sell beer at its football game.
So, here's the problem with this story. Yeah, no, you couldn't buy it inside. But everybody that was in there had been drinking for several hours in the parking lot, so it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, so the tailgating is so big in Wisconsin, like it, you don't go to anything without tailgating. So
they're already well tuned before they got
dry.
There.
And I'm doing air quotes here, dry.
Now Northwestern and Nebraska are the only two Big Ten teams that do not sell alcoholic games. UW-Madison's chancellor says beer sales will be just part of the fan experience at Camp Randall. The university has not said yet how much beer will go for. The school is also silent on how many different wine and seltzer options it will offer this season as well.
Fancy.
Have you seen the like disparity in beer prices at miscellaneous venues across the U.S.? I saw some research on the cost of a... can't remember what size they picked. It was a common size beer.
I want to say it's 12 like a 12 or 16.
Yeah. It was a bigger size, like 16 or 20 ounce or something. But how much does this cost at, you know, all of the NFL games and then all of the, I think the one that the study I was looking at was focused specifically on MLB. But the one of the lowest was actually in Minnesota. But
yeah, but are you guys still selling 3-2 at sporting events, or have they gone past that finally?
I think they're past that. Yeah.
I think they I think they got rid of that.
That's good.
The 3-2 thing is only still a Minnesota thing at gas stations. So, And nobody can explain to me why that's still
a good idea. So if you buy it at a gas station, you get 3-2 beer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go to the...
if you go to a liquor store.
Then I get regular.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because those are different.
Because
in
when
Minnesota.
I'm drinking and driving, I need lesser. I need to keep my faculties about me so I can drive. So I gotta have a lower content.
I'm just gonna have this 3-2-6
EA does not inside. Endorse this message, by the way.
Thank you. But there's like a huge disparity in the cost of beer at these MLB sites. It was, you know, almost three times the cost at some other places. So while I know people are always arguing and you know, yelling about the cost of their beer at a baseball game in Minnesota, we suddenly just realized that we're getting
a deal.
We're getting screwed the least.
Yeah, that way. Or that, you know. Yeah. That's the other way to look at it. But.
And for likely the final story of this segment, the In-N-Out Burger is no longer considered home to the best fast food burger in America. USA Today's 10 Best list now gives that honor to the Habit Burger Grill, proclaiming its signature double char burger is the best fast food burger in the country.
What the heck is the Habit Burger
Grill? I don't know. I was hoping you guys could tell me.
I do not know. I've never had In-N-Out. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
You've been out west enough to
figure. Yeah, I travel enough out west to definitely have had plenty In-N-Out Burger. Get it animal style, just so you know.
What are your honest thoughts on it? Because I don't know anybody personally. Okay. So.
It's
fine.
Okay. Trust the fat guy on food. I'm just saying. It's a fine burger. It's a fine burger.
Okay.
It's a burger.
Yeah. I mean, I've had some really good burgers.
But how good can it be?
Sure.
And how bad can you make it if you mess it up?
Yeah.
It's a very small window there.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's a fine burger. But the ridiculous lines that I've seen, I was like...
Sure. Yeah, you know, no.
Hey, let's get lunch. And look, there's an In-N-Out... let's go there, and you're in this absolutely ridiculous line.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, it's a good burger. Is it worth the effort to try and get it sometimes? Meh. I don't know. Go on an off hour, and it'll be fine. But if you do go, as I say, get it with everything.
Sure.
And extra everything, also known as get it animal style.
Animal style. Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently, the Habit Burger Grill is also a California-based chain. The signature burger is made with two patties, caramelized onions, and other toppings. In-N-Out's Double Double came in second place in the nation, which after reading this story, I'm pretty convinced USA Today didn't actually leave California to test the burgers.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I can't speak for the Habit Burger,
what was called? The Habit Burger.
Habitat for Humanity Burger.
The Nuns Burger.
Got it. But the In-N-Out, the In-N-Out double double.
Wait, did you call it the Nun's Burger? Like Habits?
No.
Because that's... Nice. Oh, God.
I was wondering if anybody was going to get it. I didn't understand
why you said that. I'm like, there are no nuns at Habitat for Humanity. I thought you were playing off my joke.
Oh, no, absolutely. I was doing an one-upper. So I was double-doubling it. Oh.
Nice. The In-N-Out double-double does have extra cheese on it, which, if you're going to have a cheeseburger, it's got to be, like, half cheese and half burger, in my opinion. But, you know.
It's... pretty forward thinking from a Minnesotan. I think you need that much cheese. But.
Dude, I like my cheese.
I do too.
And I come here and I have between where I'm at in Minnesota and where I come to in Oshkosh, I have specified cheese stops all the way. I stop at this place for this cheese and this nice. Other place with that cheese. I'm just saying Thorpe, go to Thorpe, Gouda.
Got it.
It's a thing.
Keep that in mind.
All right.
More about Jim's lactose tolerance after the break. This is EAA Radio.
Wake up with your aviation experts, Tommy and Jim.
Oh, there's some planes flying over. I'm sure the mics are picking that up. What was that?
Big round something.
It's the morning pre-flight on EAA Radio.
Oh, yeah. We are a couple of big round somethings, aren't we, Jim?
Yes. In fact, we are. Thanks to the listeners that always when I say something wrong or I admit that I don't know something.
It's the only time we hear from you, and we appreciate it.
This is how we know that people are listening, because when I say something wrong, I get corrected instantly. It's kind of like the internet, you know? If you want to know something, just claim a fact, and then everybody will throw mm-hmm. that at me. Okay. So the Air Educate Center is, in fact, in Aviation Gateway Park, so over by the College Park there and the new lovely Women Venture pavilion thing that they've got going on over there. So over in that area, that is where Aviation Gateway, or that is where the Aero Educate Center is, and they do have some forums that happen inside of that. And my wife will be attending one of those instead of going to the Watermelon Social with us. So... There is that. So thank you for giving me an edumacation. Yes.
Good deal.
So Jay.
Yes.
What else got going on?
Rolling Stone is out with a list of the 100 best album covers of all time. Ooh. As it sits today. Brooklyn native, the Notorious B.I.G. came in at number 5 with his debut album Ready to Die from 1994, which features an infant on the cover.
Love the album. I don't know about the cover. I mean, it's nothing special to me, but okay.
I think it's iconic in pop culture is the main thing.
I think the album is, for mm-hmm. sure. But the cover is like, meh. Okay.
In fourth place was Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, followed by Sly and the Family Stone's There's a Riot Going On. Mm. In second place was the Beatles' Abbey Road, which to this day has people stopping traffic to try and duplicate. Coming in first place was Joy Division's Unknown Pleasures, featuring a black and white image of a pulsar.
Huh.
That's kind of cool.
Okay.
That's kind of cool. Have you seen I'm sure you have, the t-shirts where it's like, oops, I ironed my Joy Division t-shirt, and it's just straight lines? I love that one. I have that album. It's a great album.
Where's Nevermind from Nirvana? Come on. I mean, that's another one that's not exactly awesome, but it's very iconic.
It's iconic, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a very subjective study, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Joy Division is very... That was a very iconic one. I can see that being up there. I don't know that I would have picked it. I think I would have picked Dark Side of the Moon, honestly, over that. To me, that's one of the most...
That was...
It's up there. But it's like...
Yeah.
It was number 4.
Yeah. Right. It's one of the most immediately recognizable...
Yeah. Well, and again, study from Rolling Stone.
Sure.
What about the Rolling Stones with the tongue?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
And also, again, I think there's a difference between like artistically cool and things like that versus something that's more iconic. You know, mm-hmm. that's very iconic, that image. So you see that and you know what that is.
And evaluated their placement on the chart. Plus, it's always interesting to see, you know, even because most of the albums you just rattle off are, you know, 30 years old or more.
Yeah.
You know, even if they repeat this.
There's no album covers anymore, man. Come on.
They exist virtually at the very least, and people do
show me the liner notes.
Still buy physical media.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, it's. I would be interested to see like what it is in 10 years and what's, you know. The problem is, you put it out, it's so subjective. But
yeah,
tastes and thoughts and how those albums age or their iconic covers age is always interesting and how they're perceived now.
Right.
Moving on.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah, thanks. Coming out of San Diego, Comic-Con opens Wednesday night in San Diego with 135,000 people attending and much more star power than the last couple of years. The pandemic saw the 2020 convention canceled and the 2021 version scaled back, held over Thanksgiving, while the dual writers and actor strike in Hollywood impacted last year's show. And while Comic-Con remains sold out each time, the convention is back in full force this year. The new Deadpool and Wolverine movie starring Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman is headlining a big schedule at Hall H this week that will include Marvel, DC, Star Trek, Transformers, Doctor Who, and Lord of the Rings.
Nice.
That reminds me, I'm going to have to avoid social media at the end of the week because doesn't it release this week?
Yes.
Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Oof. There's usually some big blockbuster that I want to see when we're here.
Yeah. Well, it's summer season.
It's prime time for it, so I get it.
I will say for a somewhat personal plug, I'm now the distributor for a national comic radio program, Nerd Network News.
Really?
From Dark Heart Studios. Yes. We are the, KBSC is the distributor for that.
Nice.
So they'll be at Comic-Con there doing recording and whatnot, and producing some spots that go out to the other radio stations and their YouTube channel and stuff like that. But we're the home for that now.
Gotcha. So that's very cool.
Yes,
I'll have to check that out.
Nerd Network News, Dark Heart Studios.
All right. Right up my alley.
Delta Airlines says it will take another couple of days to recover from a global computer outage on Friday. The airline has canceled more than 4,000 flights since Friday. CEO Ed Bastian said yesterday the company is working hard to get operations back to normal. In a memo, Delta said it's doing everything possible, including increases in incentive pay for pilots and flight attendants.
The reverberation is going to go well beyond that, I think, too, because, I mean, I've already heard from a number of people on field that their plans, their return home plans, have already been impacted, you know, for a flight that was, you know, a week and a half out after, well, basically 2 weeks out from the event, you know, that their flights are already, you know, moved, canceled, oversold because they, you know, jammed more people in here and trying to convince people to take a later flight and all sorts of stuff. I have some people that are joining me in my drive back to Minnesota because they can't get the flights out of here. So they have to try and pick up a flight out of Minneapolis to try and get home. So,
well, and I'm sure they're still working through the individual computer problems that CrowdStrike presents and all of that.
They haven't fixed the problem, but I mean, well, even after the problem's fixed, it's going to take weeks to iron out.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've been telling, you know, even our the place that I work, that organization, and calling out the fact that, you know, we're working really fast, we're making incredible progress, but it's going to take us weeks to resolve this.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only 4 days into it at this point, not even. You want to get back on schedule, increase the incentives for your IT people, Delta, that might help.
Yeah, right.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are looking into peer-to-peer payment system Zelle and the growing number of scams on the platform. The Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations will hear testimony today from CEO of Early Warning Services, the company that runs the Zelle network. There will also be testimony from executives with Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo, the three biggest Zelle owner banks.
Zelle is one of those things that it's really cool and really powerful, but it can be bent, you know. And there's so many. It's like the back end of a lot of things that people don't realize.
A lot of banks utilize it.
Yeah.
My parents, I know, have used Zelle because their bank uses Zelle and tried to, you know, don't you use Zelle? I'm like, no, I don't. So
right.
I've tried to. I've
used it.
Lucky avoid. Have you?
Yep.
Yeah, I've avoided it so far.
Yeah, I don't use it, but people have send me money on a regular basis on Zelle.
Really?
Yep.
I have not yet myself, and although I, you know, I have a Wells Fargo account and stuff, so yeah, may have to. Something fun, sir?
Yes, I got two more things for you. Depeche Mode, Green Day are among the 30 artists in the 2025 Hollywood Walk of Fame class. The B-52s, cool. Busta Rhymes, Prince, and Keith Urban are also included in the honorees list. While the acts are a part of the class of 2025, they'll have up to 2 years to set a date for their acceptance ceremony. The motion picture nominees include Nia Long, Bill Duke, John Carpenter, and Robert Englund. On the TV side, it's Molly Shannon, Bill Nye, Chris Wallace, and Courtney B.
Did you say Robert Englund in there?
Yeah.
Englund.
Freddy Krueger.
That is Freddy Krueger. Yeah.
Oh. That's who plays Freddy Krueger. Well,
okay, he's done a lot of other stuff too.
That's arguably his most notable,
yes,
recognizable role. He's done a ton of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back to our days, he was in V, the series about the aliens.
I love that.
Yeah,
series.
He was wasn't he like the vegetarian alien?
Something like that.
Because the aliens were going to come and spoiler, 40-year-old spoiler alert here, but they're coming and like promised cures to diseases, but they were going to come eat the humans or something.
Right.
Some really disturbing, like Ozzy Osbourne inspired scenes where they're eating parakeets, like just whole. But Robert Englund was a pacifist one and a vegetarian. He didn't want to eat humans, so he helped the humans. It was a very strange role. It's a very strange show.
I really love the show.
It was very well received.
Yes.
Back when we had three channels, so.
Yeah.
In a kind of sad, somber moment, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile will need some work after a crash on Monday in Illinois. The 23-foot iconic hot dog vehicle lost control on a Cook County highway and rolling over onto the side of a Hyundai. No one was injured.
Must have got a little slippery.
Yes. Slippery. Gotta be careful. Yeah. If it gets slippery, it'll crash your wiener, so.
Yep.
It's great. Always have control of your wiener. Mobile.
Yes.
Yes. Mobile.
Leave it to the Illinois people to screw up the Wienermobile targets.
Is that not a Wisconsin-based thing?
It is. There used to be one located out of Madison because there was a very large Oscar Mayer plant and office structure there. That building's not occupied anymore. I don't know where they reside, though. I feel like it's still out of Wisconsin, though, because we see it plenty.
Mm-hmm.
We see that more than the Planters Mobile, if you've seen that. So you've got it's real funny when you see them both at the same time, because then you have your wiener and the peanuts. So
nice. I've been part of several parades this year with all the miscellaneous radio stations I represent, and we have seen the Wiener Mobile a few times in those. It's always a little bit controversial because Minnesota, it's a Hormel state.
How dare you?
So you got to keep the Wiener Mobile away from the spams. So.
Fair enough.
Keep your meat separate.
Yes.
We do.
Separate your meats. All right. Thank you, Jay. Much appreciated. Weather's up next with Pat St. John. This is the morning pre-flight on EAA Radio.
EAA Radio's Patrick St. John is a meteorology enthusiast. Remember to personally evaluate the weather or obtain a weather briefing from flight service before you go flying.
Everybody sun.
It's a great intro.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. We've used it for a couple of years now.
Bubble bubbles.
Seems great.
Yeah. Good things.
Insert joke about gas station and hot dog rollers here. Just chiming in on what's on the Texan gateway.
With the Oscar Mayer wiener.
Yes. But 920-550-1210 if you want to send in your bad dad jokes. Speaking of bad dad jokes, Pat St. John's joining us.
Hi.
Hey, Pat.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How's the weather today? Besides damp.
Damp.
Yeah.
Rainy.
True.
It's, all things said, it's not a horrible day, right? It's not like it's complete washout. It expect overcast all day, for sure.
That was not a storm that actually hit here. Anyway.
Fell
apart.
It went north, most of it. It did break up, go north. Throughout the rest of the day today, I would expect most of the heavy rain has subsided, has finished off. There may be redevelopment by this afternoon. Models are still kind of torn on that option. So if you are coming to the grounds, I would advise to bring a rain jacket or umbrella. Mm-hmm. It would be a wise decision doing so.
Poncho. Garbage bag.
Yes. Your flavor of keeping precipitation off of you.
I have already seen somebody with a hat with the umbrella mounted to it. I saw somebody this morning walking around the campsite with that.
Hands free.
Also looks like an idiot. And it only covers like the head. So
to be fair, how well does an umbrella really help you?
If there's no wind, and it's a light rain, okay, maybe.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But if you're moving in any way, shape, or form, you get still wet.
Right.
Or you can get one of those little boxes that you can put around you and just, like a robot.
Just get a full hazmat suit. It'll
full
be fine.
Hazmat.
Yeah.
Just, you know, scary rain.
Right.
Anyways, so, like I said, really, chance of rain is throughout today.
Yeah.
It'll be cleared out by tomorrow. Actually, overnight, cloud cover will move out of here. We will be seeing some stars tonight into tomorrow morning. So we'll be sunny day tomorrow, partly cloudy day tomorrow.
Nice.
But from now until then, it is overcast. Dew points will subside as well. It's a little muggy out there, but that's to be expected. It is raining in the summer. You know, if you're coming, wear a rain jacket. That's what I have for you. One thing I did find very interesting as I was looking between yesterday and today, I may be completely mistaken, but I think this is the first year of doing so. If you go to the Green Bay National Weather Service website, you know, each office has their own little spot, right? There's actually a section just for Oshkosh Aviation Weather, and they have every one of their products available on one page, so you can scroll through the watches and warnings and potentials for thunderstorms and things, METARs, you name it. It's all on one page, nice and easy for you to consume, and it makes my job less work. And there you go.
I've noticed that several other weather apps have been issuing special Oshkosh weather reports.
Have they?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's obviously GPS located that I'm in Oshkosh, and then they're producing special things for this event.
The algorithms know you're here.
It's like it's a big secret, you know.
It's like you're not on the radio broadcasting it or anything.
No. Almost as if. But it was just odd for my weather radar app to, like, special weather statement for Oshkosh, you know, or hear the report for, you know, the EA Air Venture. Like, oh, cool.
Oh, well. Thanks for letting me know. That's AI right there.
Right.
I know.
Speaking of non-artificial intelligence, our web stream folks just popped up that page that you're referring to on our YouTube stream.
Ah,
so
perfect.
Good job, Gavin. Yeah.
He's listening.
I'm sure.
AI again.
He's not as artificial as you'd like to think.
That's true.
Regardless of his personality. So
bad. Yep. Makes sense.
You guys are harsh this morning.
He can't chime back.
Well, actually,
don't put that.
He's controlling the lower thirds.
Yeah.
Right now, it's Pat St. John, that other weather guy.
Ooh. So don't worry. That's fine. Call me what you wish.
Right.
Okay, don't call me late for dinner.
I have seen a lot of info on the sites that are saying that we are going to have some redevelopment later on this afternoon. You know,
I would expect
4 o'clock
it.
Or so.
I would expect it. Some of the models are saying not, but it really depends on if it can warm up enough to redevelop or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, it is summer in the Midwest.
And I will take this kind of rain over the gigantic storm. You know, even the cell that came through last night, they were talking, you know, really heavy rain. It was a small dot, but I mean, it was super intense. But you read the statements like, you know, wind speeds up to 20 miles an hour.
Oh,
dear God.
The broadcast just got better.
Donuts have arrived. Please wait. Please hold.
We're going to eat donuts on the air.
Interrupt your regularly scheduled programming.
This is the best radio segment yet.
I would just like to point out that, once again, the weather guy couldn't predict the best part of the day.
Ooh. That's true.
But I always heard that the best part of waking up was...
Okay. A donut in your cup?
A donut.
Donut in my boat.
There's something about a donut. A couple females in a cup that just popped in.
Excuse me?
Best part of wake. Nope, not doing that.
Nope.
Oh, boy. Choices. I want this one right here. Yeah.
I'll definitely take the chocolate.
For those listening, a wonderful person came to bring us donuts into the studio. That's why there's commotion
yes.
in this
Thank
ocean
you.
Of radio.
They're still warm.
They are still warm.
So I'm just going to eat it on mic. Like,
yeah.
Gross. Okay, your mic is on.
I know. Okay. I was going to say, why don't you just describe the donuts, really theater of the mind, while this, to continue this.
We'll do some ASMR here.
Perfect, yeah. What great segment this is.
I know.
Mouth noises and eating.
I would like to draw attention to this, and the text is, me Tars, you Jane?
Me Tars, you Jane.
Okay. Tarzan.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have
you
a decent idea.
You did encourage the dad jokes, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. You should be loving it. It's a weather dad joke. What says Pat St. John more than that?
Can I get that as a t-shirt now? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's reprint this. Me Tars. Yes. Mm-hmm. I could sell at least two of those.
Both of them to you.
You and Mitch Seago from Noah?
Yes, yeah, correct.
Pretty much. That's what I figured. Mitch will be here later today at 2 o'clock. By the way,
right on. I went with the cinnamon sugar. I almost went glazed, but I was really feeling the cinnamon sugar this morning.
I enjoy glazed. Just, you know, all things glazed.
I went for chocolate.
Yep, see? Same. Mm-hmm.
Very good. I'm
just not a chocolate guy.
Sam.
I'm with Jim on cinnamon sugar.
Good job.
That's what I wanted to do. Messy. I also didn't want to make a mess in the studio. So
cinnamon sugar, you can be careful and not be messy. Powdered sugar, it's a loss. You're going to wear it, period. It's just going to happen. So,
I guess.
I'm going to talk with my mouth full. I don't care.
Do it.
Powdered sugar is trash on donuts. I'm just going to say.
If you're going to
take it, it's trash.
Yeah.
You just haven't had the right donut yet. And I know. No. I there's one that does have powdered sugar. It's really good. It is really messy and bad in radio studios, but tastes so good. All right.
Shameless plug.
Quick around the horn.
These are from on the
grounds. On grounds, yes. They are. We should find out exactly where. But
I was going to say,
they're
where?
Very good.
There's a... It's
well, there's right one there. On the there's one over there. Is it the one on the flight line?
Yeah, it's the only one that's open right away.
Yeah, so just north of Show Center, just north IAC. Of the entrance to Boeing Plaza and north of the IAC on Whitman. Great donuts, already available. They should be an underwriter. We're
playing them
so much. I was going to say, quick around the horn, what's your favorite donut?
It has to be Bavarian cream filled, no chocolate topping. So not a chocolate just cream pie, but Bavarian cream
glazed
filled.
Glazed or just plain?
I will accept glazed. Okay. Plain is just fine.
Okay. Sam, what do you got?
Maple glazed. That's a standard.
Just standard maple. You?
I was going to say regular glazed, but I do got to go with maple glazed. Yeah.
Patty?
I am a sprinkled chocolate.
Oh, sprinkles are terrible.
They're for winners, Jim. You wouldn't understand. Yeah.
if it's a standard, it's my go-to, right? It's not the greatest of all time, but it's a consistent.
All right. Mine. Similar
I
to
know yours.
Yours
already. Can I say it?
I bet you do.
It is a chocolate-covered lemon-filled.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So think Bavarian cream with the lemon custard instead, mm-hmm. like a curd, mm-hmm. and chocolate frosting. Not the powdered sugar crud you get at most big mm-hmm. chains.
Yeah.
Chocolate-covered. Chocolate-frosted. And there are very few places that make that.
Mm-hmm. There is a donut shop close to my house that you can specify the filling. They are in the case, empty.
And I visit you enough. Why have you not taken me there?
What filling would you like, sir?
I also very much love lemon filling. Yeah. I just don't
the contrast of the chocolate. I know you don't like chocolate, which
doesn't help.
That's
the thing. I just don't like chocolate.
The chocolate and the lemon together is fantastic. Sam is being very dismissive. I can tell by the look on her face. It is amazing.
I love lemon. I think chocolate and like a key lime might be... I would like.
I would do that too.
Yeah.
But the lemon is. Do you know?
I've never seen it. No, I love lemon.
Okay.
I've just never seen chocolate lemon donut.
It's so good, so good. Place in Milwaukee has made them for years. Used to be very close to the grade school I went to as a kid, so we'd get them occasionally. So good. Never had a better donut. So, all right, Dick Nepinski up next. You're listening to EAA Radio.
Hey, Jim, what do you want to do this morning?
The same thing we do every morning, Tommy. Talk and hope we're not heard.
Did you hear the fairy day? The cranky they complain. They try to entertain us, a hopeless campaign. Each day they're all nice, and then we hail nice. Our daily dose of pain, 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 pain,
So we're joined by Dick Dupinsky. And before we start, we have some very pressing things that we have to discuss right now, Dick.
Okay.
What is your favorite donut?
Free.
Got it.
I can get behind that. I'm not a media guy.
You know? Yeah. First five words of journalism school, I'm pressed. Is that free?
Right. So we were delivered some donuts this morning, and that kind of took over one of our segments about
a little bit.
A little donut talk. You've been around long enough to remember the food vendor that was here for
Zog's.
Oh. The Zog's donuts from what used to be the Classic Cafe. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear Lord. I still miss those.
Oh, still miss those. And, you know, my brother-in-law actually worked for Zog's for a few years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were the donut thing. He was explaining. It was early July. He was at, we were all at my mom's place, and we were discussing the Zog's donuts, the mm-hmm. manufacturing of them, and, you know, the vat o' grease that it took to
I'm sure.
do all of those. Because, you know, those boxes, when you got emptied, they'd slide. I mean, there was just so much, you know, lubrication on those boxes by the time the donuts were done.
And they were so, so good.
Yeah, they were another one of those Oshkosh traditions of years gone by.
Yeah.
Like I say, another thread in the vivid tapestry of AirVenture.
The ones we had this morning from the food court area there, right? Yeah.
It's right on Whitman, just just north of IAC. That's
the one that we got from.
They're good.
Yeah. Oh, they're great. We just had some on air.
Yeah, they're not like the sugar frosted grease bombs that we used.
Not quite.
Yes. But they're a fair substitute when there's nothing else available for sure.
I said free.
Yeah. So, Dick, what's going on today?
Well, you know, first of all, we want to just bring everybody up to date what we know. You know, people may have heard there was an accident, unfortunately, off the south end of 1836 yesterday, about 2 miles south of the airport. Sad to say, we did lose a couple of people in that. They're still working on notifications of next of kin and mm-hmm. so forth. So it was a Lancair aircraft that was involved, and that happened between 12:30, 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Great response by Sheriff's Department, Fire Department, everybody else got out there. But sadly, we did lose a couple of people, so thoughts go out to that. And we'll have more information on that as we come along. NTSB and FAA are on it, and mm-hmm. you know, the usual stuff now goes into the investigation and find out what the cause was.
When something happens just off-field like that, what's the on-field response? I mean, you know, if something happens, obviously, if it's on the other side of 26, that's mm-hmm. not airport property, but we have emergency vehicles here. Do they head off property to go deal with it?
Yeah, we've got one. Well, Oshkosh Fire Department has a station right at the north end of the airport, mm-hmm. and they're trained in aviation.
They'll be on the air with us for on the fly this week.
So. Okay, yes. And so they do stage here, especially during the air show. Mm-hmm. But when something like that happens, they do respond to it. Town in the Kaimai, which is actually half of our grounds, are in the town mm-hmm. of Nakaimai. So all of you in Camp Scholar are in the town of Nakaimai, so don't try to vote in Oshkosh. And so they responded as well. Then you get State Patrol, and of course, mm-hmm. FAA and TSB being right here, they get out there pretty quickly as well. So those are the type of things that, you know, is unfortunate. The airport was closed for a little bit less than an hour mm-hmm. to arrivals, but then got back open again, and then we started the air show at the usual time, about 2:30.
Right.
So, but today we move on to Innovations Day. We've got some of the cool stuff that we'll get out on Boeing Plaza in a little bit. You know, you heard the rain, mm-hmm. until 10 o'clock we could see some stuff, and then it's a Wisconsin summer weather pattern after that. Could we see some more? Maybe.
Right.
And But we're hoping that the weather clears enough to bring the Italian military team in here.
Yes.
A little bit later on this morning. They're down in Milwaukee, so they were in the neighborhood, decided to swing by. And if we can get them in here, we will have them in late morning.
I've heard some conflicting information about what they're actually going to be doing here. Are they flying a routine in the show, or are they doing flybys? Are they doing their small box show?
Mostly flybys this, because when they come in, we don't have an aerobatic box. Mm-hmm. So they're allowed to do flybys and can come in, and I'm sure they'll hit the green, red, and white smoke
of
coming in to announce themselves as where the Italian military pilots have arrived at Oshkosh.
Gotcha.
Which bring back many stories of 1986 when they were here last time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. These were told to me by Henry Ogrzynski, who was one of my predecessors in this role, and by Paul Berezny himself about, they were here for several days, and they had fun. The women swooned. The men all wanted to be them. And they'd go downtown Oshkosh, and as often in Italy, you just park someplace. And sometimes it's a sidewalk. It's just, it led to some international relations having to take place to make sure nothing happened, no international incidents. But it was great fun back in 1986. But it's great to have them back. They're flying in Milwaukee this weekend, and they'll be here. And so we're going to have them and the Snowbirds. First time we've ever had two military jet teams here. So I hope the Italians can make it up today. One reason they came up, and they said, we don't have to bring the entire squad. We can keep our maintenance folks back in Milwaukee and things like that. Come up, spend a day up here, because they really wanted to do that, and then go back to Milwaukee, prep for the show this weekend. So we have that. Yesterday, you all see the B-1?
Yes.
I was not expecting that.
They had it on the air show schedule, Mystery Plane, which, of course, okay. They got that to do a couple of swings by, and that's the fun part of Oshkosh. Some days you'll just go, is that what I think it is? Yeah. And
are they still pulling together like random stuff like that of, hey, look, this plane's over there and that one's over there. Can we get you guys just come on over here for a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happens. And you have people calling us to say, you know, since we're just going to be right over there, mind if we just swing by to say hi?
Uh-huh.
And we go, okay, yeah, we'll find a spot for you.
There have been several years, not as much even with the B-1, but there's been several years like, oh, hey, look, there goes a B-2.
And only at Oshkosh you go, oh, yeah, a B-2.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. And so that's always something. And one of my favorites was the year we set up the Blue Angels to come by right at the end of the anthem of the air show from the west. So they came in behind everybody.
Right. Nice.
And I still remember there's one guy, got it on YouTube. He was standing down in Vintage, and he turned, and he just went, holy, well, you can fill in the rest here. And it's the Blue Angels, and here they come. And this is just, when this works, it's magnificent, because right the last note was done, and they came over the crowd line. You cannot ask for a better one. And they came by, and they were on their way from like Pensacola to Fargo or something. And so they just say, oh, yeah, we'll just swing by and do that kind of thing. So, you know, those kind of things happen. And we've got a lot of week left, so who knows what might happen.
Right.
And the boys over in Air Ops are cooking up something, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So looking forward to that. So that is today. Again, Innovations Day. Hope to put a couple things up in the air. We've got the Magna Air, the Beaver that has the electric engine, again, hoping for good weather, get that up in the air to show it off as a demo flight. And really interesting to see where they're going. Is electric flight a future? You can start a good campfire debate with that one.
Oh, yeah.
But there are people out there trying to make it work. And can they make it work? There's that whole battery weight thing that comes into play, but they're out there, and it's great to see. Between that, the eVTOL, some of the autonomous stuff, that's going to be the future. Yeah. Someday we will be the Jetsons.
Yep. Oh, yeah, there's a place for all of it. I don't know that electric Beaver's the answer, but, I think that electric flight is...
Would that be weird if it's on floats? Is there a short time to land on a lake?
I literally thought about it, because I've never once flown in a Beaver that had wheels.
Yeah.
I've always been in ones that had floats. And that's exactly the first thing. When you said electric Beaver, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Splash.
Well, that's like we had Whisk here last year, and one thing they had, because it was a prototype, it couldn't get wet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things. It's an evolution. You keep working on things and so forth. But it's interesting to see, much like electric cars, too. You've got them, but now you need charging stations. And where do you find that? Does your FBO have it? If you
bring an extension cord.
Yeah, exactly. You see a big orange. Instead of smoke, there's this big orange tail coming off and just unraveling. But those are the kind of things. It's interesting to see much better minds than ours out there working on these kind of things, because Lord knows, I was a bad guy with an erector set. Stuff would, erector set and chemistry. Those were great toys in the 60s and 70s. I mean, you could injure yourself in like 17 different ways.
Chemical burns.
Those type of things. Yeah. And,
metal cuts, et cetera.
Yeah. But we'll have that out there. Cool. Bert Rutan here last night, great presentation. Twilight Flight Fest last night was a lot of fun. Boy, you couldn't have picked a better day.
Yeah, it was
just
beautiful.
Just wonderful out there. So, you know, really good start. The Rutan airplanes out in Boeing Plaza were a lot of fun yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And
Seed in the Woods was packed.
Yeah.
The program went almost an hour and a half long, and nobody left.
Nope.
They were all still there.
I've always said here, Bert's a rock star.
Yeah.
You know, if he stops and starts talking to a friend, pretty soon 12 people have gathered around just to see what he's going to say.
The host kept trying to do, like, trying to keep on schedule. And more than once, he's like, no, I'm not done yet.
You know, he's Bert. We're going to let him.
Oh, yeah, he can do that.
Okay,
he can do that.
You know, that's like when the days Paul Popresny would do things, you know, walk into your meeting. Are you going to stop him? No, I'm not going to stop him.
All right. So lots of stuff to do. We mentioned it's, you know, it's an outdoor event. There's a ton of indoor stuff. So if it is raining, there is so many places to go.
There are many vendors who would love you to stop by and see this cool stuff that you can either carry or ship back home. And so you'll have it on your airplane.
Forums and workshops and the museum. There's tons of indoor stuff if you want to stay out of the predicted possible drizzle. I won't even go so far as to say a lot of rain, but yeah.
Predicted possible potential rain that we could maybe have today.
Exactly that.
Or not.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in again,
sure
Dick.
Thing.
We'll talk to you again tomorrow. This is the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
Turn a good morning into a great day with the Morning Preflight Show on EAA Radio.
Yeah. We're sighing because we're not that good at this. More of my favorite music this morning.
Yay.
Jesus. Love it, Sam. Kindred spirits right here. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Thanks.
Anyway. So, things going on today.
Yeah.
So, we did have the Rutan show at Theater in the Woods last night, which was hugely well attended.
Mm-hmm.
When Pat and I had to go there to go fix a thing with our audio stream from there, we literally had to fight our way through the crowd to get to the ladder that went up to the crow's nest. So
nice.
That was entertaining. However, we do have the official Dick Rutan Memorial happening at the Brown Arch at 10 a.m. this morning.
Yes. Not Bert, obviously.
Yes, the Dick Rutan Memorial.
Just reiterating.
Again, 10 a.m. At the Brown Arch. I'm assuming they're going to probably put a big old honking brick in there.
I would assume so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought about getting our station a brick, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like...
To memorialize the building that used to sit right next to it that we don't have anymore.
I wonder if they let, like, can we draw out our design? Like, we used to be right there, just have an arrow that points over to the right.
That would be awesome.
Oh, Nick.
Yes. We were right there until a certain somebody decided they didn't like us there.
I mean, again, the views were great. The building was trash.
Right. A couple things that I find at least interesting and important. We've talked about it several times already. The Mosaic update at 10 a.m. on Forum Stage 8. That is, they're calling it the LSA 2.0 or Lightsport 2.0 or whatever. Basically, it's expanding out the definition of aircraft that fall under Lightsport to include things like up to like about a 172. Which I have some mixed feelings on. You know me and Sport Pilot.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings, but I think it's, if you're going to have it, getting up through 172 is probably just fine.
Sure. And, you know, the LSA has its places.
It
really does. You know, particularly, you know, if you can't. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. I don't want
to. And to be honest, I'm getting now to the age where getting my medical
that's
isn't
where
automatic
I was going
anymore.
Where I was going to go. It's like, as you get older, what I was going to say is, you may find the LSA more interesting so that you can retain your ability to fly because of medical, first class medical, not first class. I just think it has a place. Like if you put limitations around it and I also think you're right. You're like, you know, based on what they were flying versus 172.
Yeah.
That's probably fine.
And I have some questions whether like my 172 would even count because it does. There's performance standards that are the defining factor.
Because you have a tricked out 172.
Well, yeah.
That's pretty much what it is.
They don't name it by model. They name it by performance standards.
Gotcha.
So I'm probably well outside the window of those performance standards, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't... Have you seen the actual definitions? I have not. I'm just curious.
So that's one of the things that they're still trying to figure out.
But I mean, they have some guidelines on where they think they're going. Yeah. And I know that's they're not cemented. I'm just curious. Yeah.
But because my 172 is over 200 horsepower, it's going to be out. Mm-hmm. So that's a likely case. But again, I'm of that age that... You know, going in for that third class medical is not automatic, and you're like, fingers crossed. No. Here we go. We could do this. Don't get too excited because then you'll get your blood pressure
Then your blood pressure will be through the roof, and always good.
Yes. So, yeah, that's discussion happening at Forum Stage 8. So they'll give you an update. You know, the question is always, yes, it's going to happen. When is it actually going to, you know, the nose for the notice of proposed rulemaking has been out. And when is it actually going to happen and be implemented? There's a lot of people that are waiting to be able to get back into aviation with it. And that's the kind of thing that excites me on it. So that's happening this morning at 10 a.m. In Forum 8. We have the air show, of course, happening tonight, per usual. Lots of meow.
That's what happens, yes. So, yeah, if that goes off, that's the usual 2:15 to 6 roughly today.
Yeah, exactly.
They were a little off schedule yesterday, but, you know, a lot of things going on.
Yeah, they
ran along.
And they started early.
Yes.
I was surprised at that myself. So. Oops. Boy, I totally just closed my window. Good job, Jim.
The inner monologue on the air works well. I think you should do that all the time.
I'm 100% going to do that all the time. You know, I got to find my stuff again.
You should type louder for emphasis so we can get that IM.
So
that's a quiet keyboard, too. You are pounding those things.
I have a gaming laptop.
Yeah.
And
does it?
It just kicked into game mode when I tried to open the window.
So anybody who hears that hiss and hum, that's Jim's behemoth machine in here.
Gaming laptops, I like gaming laptops because they're powerful. I do game on them some, but it's...
And they have larger screens.
I have them for doing professional work for the most part. But the problem is...
I'm just laughing at for the most part. Because I've absolutely seen you playing, like, Fallout in our office after hours. So.
Maybe.
Or not Fallout. Fortnite. Far Cry is what I've seen you play.
It depends on what I'm at.
Yeah. That was a couple years ago. I haven't seen you play Fortnite, but I know you do.
That was the joke when we had that major storm. Was it last year?
Was that?
I was over there, and they were all watching me play Fortnite through the window, and realizing that I was actually good at it, and it freaked a bunch of the students out.
Was that before or after I left? Though I feel like that was after I left.
No, it was that really might remember. Have been 2 years ago. It was when the sling.
That would have been 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
When the sling tent blew away. Yes. So they were out there. By the way, I got here at 4:30 or so this morning to turn us over to NWS, weather radio, essentially. Right. And the sling folks were out there pounding in stakes extra deep this morning. They've learned
and rightfully
just
so.
What the weather can do around here, and I get it.
Yeah. But my gaming laptops, one of the problems that I have, again, I use this in radio and media a lot, they always love to come with those clicky cherry keyboards that gamers love. Mm-hmm. And I try and do stuff in a studio, and it's a click, 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 click. It sounds like a mundane typewriter.
They feel great, but they're just noisy.
I just hate them. I hate them. I actually paid extra to get mine removed from this one.
Yeah.
Because I hate it so bad. My white one does, though. It's still clicky.
You know, there was a time when I was first, you know, dealing with computers, and then they started going to the soft touch, and I hated it because I'd gotten so used to it, and I could not go back for the life of me now. Yeah.
I'm 100% there.
Yeah.
The other end of the spectrum, my eldest daughter, who is also very much a gamer, does the build your own keyboard. At modular build your own keyboard.
Where you can pick
stuff.
Like, you know, the Cherry and the MX and those. Yeah.
And she finds the loudest, clickiest thing that she can find. downstairs, I can hear her pounding away on stuff. It's terrible.
Yeah. Anyway. It's computer fashion, you know?
Right.
The trends all come back around.
tonight at the Flying Movie Theater, which is where I was trying to head with this when my window closed on me there, is from 1956, Toward the Unknown, a war romance film about test pilots at Edwards Air Force Base during the dawn of supersonic flight, starring William Holden and Virginia Leith. So, I don't know that one. I've not seen that one myself.
When's Firebirds again? Do I have to avoid it?
Again, they placed it during the Night Air Show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So Wednesday. Perfect. Yes. I shouldn't have a problem ignoring it. If it's on late, I have earplugs. I'm going putting them in. Terrible. Part of me is I really dislike Nicolas Cage in 95% of his movies.
Right.
Vehemently hate.
Did you see the movie about him?
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent?
That's the one.
That is fantastic. That's one of the two roles. Because it's him playing an over parodied version of himself.
Yes.
With Pedro Pascal playing a super fan.
Yes.
That one's amazing. I loved every minute. It's the one, you've all seen portions of it. It's the one with the meme where you see a distraught Nicolas Cage and then immediately the animated GIF flips to Pedro Pascal just looking very joyful and open mouth grin, like,
you hate Nicolas Cage, you need to see that movie. It's about Nicolas Cage because it's Nicolas Cage making fun of Nicolas Cage the whole movie.
Yes, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. And I don't dislike the man. I appreciate anybody who can poke fun at,
poke fun at himself in that way. Yes.
That being said, we're diving right into movie talk. He's in that new horror suspense movie.
Long Legs.
Yeah. It seems like creepier, weirder Silence of the Lamb vibes is what I get. And I think he's the criminal in it. So
yeah, I have not seen that one yet myself because I've been out here.
I think it's out. It just came out, right?
It's on its second or third week right now. But I have talked to many people that have went into it and these are horror movie films that are fans that are used to this. They're like, I've not left a theater legitimately frightened like this in like an amazingly long time.
And I'm not a horror movie fan, but it's the suspense. I can do horror suspense and I'm into it. So
yeah.
That'd be interesting. Anyway.
So
Firebirds
Wednesday. Yay. Nicolas Cage.
Who's the actress with Sherilyn Fenn? Is that who was in it?
I think so.
I think that was a long time ago. They fly some helicopters, have some great dialogue. You'll enjoy it. Hal Bryan's defense of the film was they have great flying scenes, and I do not remember it because I just remember the movie being so bad.
I generally agree. I have a problem with the helicopters used for such things because they try and make these very generic helicopters look bad. It's like no.
Well, and I've heard you make fun of rotorcraft before, but your eldest went on a helicopter ride was glowing the rest of the day.
Yes.
So you may have created a monster.
Yeah.
Speaking of monsters, Hal Bryan's up next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Hal Bryan is taking over. It's Hal and he's taking over. We love Hal. He's taking over. It's Hal Bryan Show for a quarter hour.
A quarter hour. What a quarter hour it is.
You get a quarter hour of fame.
Indeed. Hey, Andy Warhol promised me that.
Yes. Exactly.
He just didn't say I'd get it, every day for 1 week a year.
Yes.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Have you back. This is the Hal Bryan Show on the Morning Pre-Flight.
It is indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I had no idea that was coming. We had an intro this morning that was also Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So somehow we just assumed that would be up your alley. So
it's, I own a timeshare in that alley, so it's absolutely perfect.
It's fair.
Well, guys, once again, you know what I did?
Abducted a coworker.
I found a coworker.
Found. I mean, semantics.
I was lost on the road.
Yeah, semantics, jail time, it's all just technicalities. So, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
This is Jessica from our marketing department, but who does a lot of double duty, particularly during AirVenture, helping out our social media team.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's all the time we have.
All right. All right. Goodbye, guys. Right. I do marketing full time for EAA, and then I'm lucky enough the week of AirVenture to be able to run around and capture content for social. So if you see me in my little social media three neon yellow vest, that's me on a moped, on a scooter with two different mirrors, because last year I lost a mirror somehow, but Hal doesn't believe me when I tell him it wasn't my fault.
That's still under active investigation and on the advice of counsel.
NTSB. You
can't comment on an ongoing investigation.
It wasn't an incident on the airfield.
Yeah, it wasn't me. That's all I have to say.
What I want to point out, too, that Jessica is one of our great success stories in that she started as an intern, and then mm-hmm. you came back and you did a second internship, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So step us through that.
Yeah, so in 2021, I was the signs and display intern to just kind of get my foot in the door. And then they called me back the next summer, in March of 22. And I was the marketing intern up until June last year. I started full time.
Nice.
So I've been around. Yay. Sorry. You were scared to have Heidi on.
Well, that's
got it.
True. But yeah, but we've got Jessica.
Sorry, you stuck with me.
So the social media, we've talked about this. It changes a little bit every year. Give us a rundown on what the social media presence for EAA looks like right now.
Right now, for me personally, I am the vertical video queen is what I call myself. So I am making a lot of TikToks, Facebook Reels, Instagram stories, and posts. I take all of the fantastic direction from Holly, who is the social media manager, and she has me going out and just capturing whatever I can, cool mm-hmm. stuff. I'm out on the flight line during the entirety of the air show, and mm-hmm. I just capture what I can. So
gotcha. Vertical video queen.
Yes, vertical video queen.
We need to have that on a business card.
Yes, please. I actually would like it on a button with my face.
Yep. Once again, there's a lot of that going
yes.
around.
Yes. Just wait. Trust me. So cool. That's what we're doing this week. The other 51 weeks of the year.
I have different programs that I help do the marketing for. So mm-hmm. I do the Young Eagles program. I also do AirVenture in general. I do mm-hmm. a lot of the operational and promotional stuff for AirVenture.
Sure.
And then I also have our webinars program, and I help HR out if they're ever doing any hiring. Mm-hmm. I get their social stuff out there, but right. AirVenture kind of takes up the majority of my work. I mean, it's kind of a year-round project.
Right.
And one of the other things that you've done a lot of work with is the menus.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of those things I like to bring up because I think if you're coming here as an attendee, even if you're pretty well dialed in, there's a million tiny things you might not think about. Mm-hmm. And, think every food vendor has signage of different sizes and shapes, right. and those menus are there. Those all have to be designed. They all have to be laid out. It starts with a surprisingly massive spreadsheet,
yeah.
And then we end up with scores, 100 different little
yeah.
design documents. Jessica coordinates that. It comes over to my team for proofreading and review, and that's just sort of one slice of it. All the signage, all kinds of other stuff that Jessica and her counterparts, work on, and then it flows through our whole group. It's there's a million moving parts.
I have noticed that the menus have a consistent design across all the different vendors. So it's mm-hmm. obviously, I could see that somebody had to have done that.
My designer, too, yes. Brandon and Carissa yeah. are great. So,
Jessica coordinated all that. sorry, Jim, when you said I could see they have a consistent, I thought there's a consistent mistake.
I thought that's where you were going to.
We were just
going to
walk right out of here. What do you mean we spelled EAA wrong?
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, so how many times have you tried to type EA and it automatically tries to recorrect it to EEA? For some reason, every time I type it, my machine wants to correct it that way.
I want to know how that's better. What is that supposed to mean?
It's how did that make it into Microsoft's list of acceptable terms, but EAA is not? I don't know.
So one of the things that I spend a fair amount of time doing is right-click, add to dictionary.
Yes.
And so, AirVenture autocorrects with the capital V, and
right.
All that kind of stuff.
Fair.
Smart.
Jim and Tommy, I guess I can't say that on the air, but... You know, it corrects to something.
Something Tim and special. Jummy.
Tim and Jummy.
Tim and Jummy, sure. Sure, that's what you would like to think, that it's that innocuous.
Right. So, of the social media stuff that you've got going for this week, what has been the stuff that gets you the most engagement? Like, what is the secret thing that's like, this is what people are actually like reacting to?
I mean, people just love hearing the plane. So especially with like the mass arrivals are really cool. Right. That was like my first time being out there and getting that. Yeah. I get told, don't put music over it. People like to hear it. So sometimes I work in Taylor Swift and random songs for like 2 seconds and then it's just planes.
I'm sorry, Taylor who?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, consider your audience here, okay?
Well, we have Taylor Craft and Swift, so it must
it must be somehow related to that.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's a combination of those aircraft. Yeah.
So if you see a bunch of TikToks with Taylor Swift music, you know who made
that's
it.
Fair. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, I think one of the other things that's done really well for us, I haven't looked at numbers in a little bit, but our photographer, Connor Madison, was up orbiting in the photo ship when the B-52 landed.
Mm, yeah.
And he got this just crazy, jaw-dropping, top-down video of the B-52 landing. And that was
amazing. Imagine the clearance that took for the for them to let you have that ship in the air when they were bringing that B-52 mm-hmm. in.
You know, it's pretty amazing that we've got such a great partnership with the Air Force. And, you know, we're several years in now to highlighting a different command every year, and this year, as you guys know, you've had them on the show at least once.
And we'll continue.
The Materiel Command. And it's humbling almost, you know, sort of kidding aside, to see how excited they are to be here and how eager they are to work with it. I mean, even things like, you know, you watch any of the military hardware come in, the B-52 a little bit of an exception because of the size and logistics around it, but
sure.
Most of them fly our warbird arrival.
Right.
They,
mm-hmm.
they want to sort of be, you know, in our thing. Now, of course, our warbird arrival is based on military procedures that predate the U.S. Air Force, but but even still, I
thanks,
look at
Paul.
That and say, that's really cool. You know, this is the Air Force. This is the government, but they want to come... play alongside us in our big sandbox.
I've seen that 210 circling the field a lot all week. So
actually, that's a different 210 that's just circling you.
I thought I was being watched.
Yeah, you're not wrong this time. So
got it. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that people aren't trying to kill you.
Yes,
I'm just saying. Yeah,
there is that.
Yeah, and I got to say, I have learned so much about flying photo stuff from what I've seen done here, advice from like Jim Kopechnik, you know, over the years.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So every now and then, I fly 172. I've already got one, Pat.
I am Hal's biggest fan. Yes. I already have one, but I'm excited to put this on.
Do you have that special one?
No.
I didn't even know.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, this is even better.
Thanks to thanks to Marie, my designer. There are two different versions.
Yes.
There's the I was on the radio with Hal versus I work with Hal.
Does
and
it.
Then I think it just goes down from there to
I survived Hal.
I survived Hal, a documentary series for EAA.
I'm vaguely aware of Hal. I've successfully forgotten Hal. Hal who?
Who the hell is Hal? Yeah, exactly.
So there's the sticker that you can put on your button.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just going to cover his face with this sticker.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
With another version of my face.
The other sticker is on the back of my badge, so you're with me forever.
I think I need a minute.
Nice. All right. So very cool. Thank you for coming to see us. We did give you your consolation prize for having to come in this morning. So you've got your sticker.
Thank you.
What's the next victim looking like?
You know, we'll just have to see.
I feel like that's a game time decision
is pretty much.
I know who you are.
Yes.
Yank.
Yeah, sometimes that decision is made at about 7:39 in the morning. But
I would expect nothing less.
I've got some ideas. One day I'm going to bring a cardboard cutout, kind of in your honor, Tommy, of my senior
where
copy
is mine,
editor.
By the way?
Where is he?
I don't know.
I think he's at a school somewhere.
No.
As a warning.
So he may have helped my place in line on opening day of the campground, by the way. So I didn't have to sit there all night.
I took a chair, set up the chair, and then put him in it and strapped him in. So everybody that was in line, you've got Tommy.
So when I returned at 4:30, I was a little concerned about what people would think. Apparently they were all big fans. So
well, clearly.
I've seen you've been sitting in line all night. It's very clever. So
that may be the best thing you've ever done.
Yeah, which I had no part of, obviously.
Exactly. Yes. Well, that you married well.
True enough.
Yes.
thank you both. This has been the Hal Bryan Show and the Morning Pre-Flight. Up next, here are the boys from Hot Start. This is EA Radio.